lips and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah, who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all of these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Romans chapters 9 and 10. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is, a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. But being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God, and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. When Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the day will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and have you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of robbers. And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the 10th Sunday after Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 19th chapter. And when Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Last part of the text. Please be seated. Jesus, God in the flesh, is weeping. He's weeping over the city of Jerusalem. These are tears of profound sadness. The great mystery, the incarnation of God, is God Almighty taking on flesh, God experiencing human emotions. For Jesus is God. He is Almighty. He can change everything with the breath of a single word, and yet He doesn't. He doesn't use His divine power to force Jerusalem to be what He wants her to be. He doesn't force the people to be objectively righteous for the sake of their salvation from their enemies. Instead, He cries like a powerless child, grieving over the resistance of Jerusalem to recognize the time of their visitation. Jesus has fulfilled every Old Testament prophecy. He has worked miracle after miracle for 3 years. He's made the blind to see, fed thousands with a few loaves of bread and a few fish, and even raised people from the dead. He's preached and preached about the kingdom of God with authority like no one else. He has won every debate and argument put before Him. He has sent the mighty demons scurrying for escape, as He would later walk out of His own grave to be seen in plain sight. In spite of all of this, there are many who refuse to believe, and this lack of belief is what condemns them. For God will not force a person to believe. If 3 years of signs, miracles, preaching, and the fulfillment of ancient prophecies are not enough to create faith, then there's nothing more that God Himself will do. In spite of every desperate plea of the Blessed Lord, the majority of His countrymen refuse to believe. They refuse to believe the preaching of John the Baptist when he said that the time is at hand. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. They refuse to believe the preaching of Jesus when He said that today the Scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing. They simply refuse to believe that God has visited them. Instead, as Jesus overlooks the great city of David, the chosen people continue to depend on the temple rituals while overlooking the sacrificial lamb to end all sacrificial lambs. Instead, they put their faith in buying and selling, turning a house of prayer into a den of thieves. Instead, they continue following the blind guides, the chief priests, the scribes, the leaders of the people, intent on destroying Jesus, instead of being brought to repent of the sins that Jesus has come to destroy. So as Jesus journeys to His death, He's heartbroken and filled with a sadness born of frustration and unreturned love. As Jerusalem comes into view on His final walk into the crown jewel, Israel, the city of David. Jesus weeps. Why? Because the Lord knows exactly what is to come to pass. Some 40 years after he is to become the all-availing, atoning sacrifice for the life of the world. In 70 A.D., the temple will be utterly leveled. They will be surrounded and mercilessly bombarded by the enemies of God and his people. The Romans will heartlessly and ruthlessly kill anyone in the way, including children yet to be born. They're legally allowed to do this by order of the Roman government. Who could have ever guessed that 1930 years later, that very horrid act of man would be legalized in the United States as well? But knowing that this calamity will befall Jerusalem, Jesus does not change it. He does not force history to conform to God's desire, not even to spare the Holocaust to come some 40 years in the future. It's shortly after the Lord Jesus' impending entry into Jerusalem, however, that the Holocaust of all Holocausts is about to happen. The crucifixion of God in the flesh, the sacrificial lamb, for the sake of the people. Let it be known that this shepherd weeps not for himself, but rather sheds tears for those sheep who insist on straying into the very mouth of the lion. As Paul proclaims in the epistle text for today, Israel did not rely on the visitation of the Lord. They did not seek salvation by the grace of God through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, but instead, Israel stubbornly clung to the law, deluded by the lie of their own righteousness. To them, Jesus had become a stumbling block, and the Lord stands conveniently in the way of all of those who believe that they need no visitation from God to make them righteous. Notice how Paul, a Jew like his Lord Jesus, is crushed in his spirit about this. His heart's desire to the God of Israel is that they may be saved. He pleads with his fellow Israelites to submit, which is better understood as simply abiding in or receiving God's righteousness. For as Paul preaches, Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. But the truth of God's grace is not defeated by a disbelieving people. It's true no matter what. And it just keeps on extending out, going beyond the Israelites to others, to Gentiles, to the people who did not have the Old Testament and the prophets for their own, to others who would be brought to confess their utter failure to be perfect. For faith cannot be forced. By the grace of God, faith is a humble receiving of God's truth about you and about God, over and against your sinful desire to define the truth by a nice, pleasant, comfortable lie. Israel to repentance. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, who is also known as the weeping prophet, lamented the fact that evil had become so ordinary that people no longer even, quote, knew how to blush, end quote. They had no shame, and thus no repentance. They went and thoughtlessly stole and murdered and committed adultery in thought, word, and deed, swearing falsely and making offerings to false gods flippantly. So deluded were the people that they rejected the word of the prophets, which is the word of God, and they held fast to deceit. They held fast to their wills being done. But the good news today, my friends in Christ Jesus, is that you are part of God's church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic assembly of believers, members of his very body by virtue of his holy baptism of you. You can take comfort that it is only by the Holy Spirit, by God himself, that you confess Jesus is Lord. Unlike the majority of the Lord's countrymen, you have been brought to know the time of your visitation. God has come in the flesh, and that flesh was crucified for you, a poor, miserable sinner, as you confess yourself to be. His blood was spilled as an atoning sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. That flesh and blood are given to you as a gift of life, working through elements that you eat and drink, precisely because he has brought you to know who is visiting you and why you even need to be visited in the first place. Because what does he come to bring? The forgiveness of your sins. He's not visiting because he wants to hang out with a bunch of good people. To be drawn to God's divine service of word and sacraments is to confess to God and to confess to everyone in this congregation and everyone in the community, including your neighbor who sees you leave every Sunday morning, knowing where you're going, is to confess that you are unable to save yourself. By the grace of God, you are brought to admit failure. You are brought to see your sin. When you stand there or kneel here, you are just as a beggar, a bum in search of a handout. You are confessing to yourself, to your neighbor, to God, that you're not a good person, that you have no righteousness of your own, that you're a sinner, but that you're a sinner who also confesses that unpleasant truth, believing that here, in this sacred space, you're confessing that God is visiting you, and he is giving to you and sustaining you in a new and prison. What a confession. What a blessed confession. Thanks be to God that he brings you to be a beggar, thirsting for righteousness, pleading for the crumbs that fall from the Lord's table, holding him to his word and his presence among you. That is the kind of repentant faith Jesus wished that Jerusalem had. By the grace of God, when you confess your sins, confessing the truth of his visiting you through his word and sacraments, confessing the church's one foundation, confessing Jesus as Lord, when his living and active word and sacraments effectively work on you, which they do, it's just as Jesus in the temple. They come and purge the sin out of you. They painstakingly sweep all self-centered sin out, sweeping it onto Christ, who took it all into himself and carried it to take care of it for you, so that Christ crucified becomes the true and only focal point and source of a sanctified, that is, holy and righteous life. It is then that the tears of Jesus are turned into tears of joy. For heaven itself rejoices over even one sinner who repents. The temple is now clean. The Lord is risen and weeps no more. He has what he came for. You are baptized, forgiven, and faithful. My faith alone in the only one who is truly faithful for you. He beckons you to return to where he visits you, that you would have forgiveness, life, and salvation from yesterday, today, and forever. For it's his presence that brings peace and rest. And with you is where he chooses to abide. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.